Got some great news this week. We have been for months trying to get CY, who is was my primary translator over in Nigeria, who's also cousin to Dr. Carey, to get him over to the United States, here to our city, to do some training and a micro business model. He is a traveling evangelist. He and his wife also have a beauty products wholesale company that they operate. So he's a businessman. And Gary Clark, who is the cousin and brother, I guess he's more your brother, of Lynn McCusker, those five girls, Gary's mom and Linda's mom's sisters. He is a very successful businessman in Atlanta, Georgia, he's a consultant now, travels all over the world. He has discovered this micro business model that he is doing in the country of Ghana, and has had great success with it, where the people there can become self-sufficient, making money in their own businesses, and then become contributing in their churches so that they can sustain their churches and not have to have outside money all the time. Well, Gary is going to come down when CY comes over here to train him several days. We're going to train him in some discipleship stuff, spend several weeks with him. Great news is, this past week, they approved his visa. I only asked him one question, said, why'd you wait so long? So it usually takes several hours to get through that process. Went through like that. We'll know tomorrow what his parameters are as far as dates. But he's going to be coming here. And whenever he comes, one of those Sundays, he's going to be preaching here. So looking forward to CY coming. We're going to be flying him over. So, and John thought about this week. If any of you've got any leftover Sky Miles you'd like to donate to that, or cash would be okay too. Let us know, because we're going to be getting him over here. He is a great guy. He is, just so you'll know the kind of character he is, he threw me under the bus while we were over there. Yes, sir, that's right. He did a great job with that. And so you would appreciate him very much. All righty. Now it's my pleasure to introduce to you the Not Ready for Primetime Players.
Okay.
Stephen, it's not like that. We just encourage each other at Life Group. We, come and eat together and spend some time with each other and try to help each other out with our burdens.
Yeah, you know what? I don't need that. Thanks, though.
Okay, well, if you change your mind, just give me a call.
Yeah, that might happen.
Hey, Stephen, what's going on?
Oh,
all right?
Yeah, it's just my dad.
What's up?
I just got news that he's really sick.
Oh,
so,
man. I'm sorry, let's pray for him.
Whoa. Hey, you know, I'm not into that, You know, I appreciate the fact that you find some comfort in giving God all your problems.
Yes.
But, I'm a self-made man. I think praying is for the weak. No offense.
None taken. But seriously, it looks like you've got a lot to deal with right now. Maybe I could just help you out with just one of those?
No. Seriously, I got it.
Okay?
Thanks.
Okay, if you change your mind, I'm here for you. I'll pray for you, with you anytime.
Okay.
Steven, what's up, bud?
Hey.
You're looking a little weighted down there, bro. You right?
Yeah, doing fine.
Well, hey, listen, I just wanted to, we're going to invite the Life Group over to the house tonight. And we're going to have some pizza, maybe play charades or something like that. Strickland's coming over, might even bust out some karaoke. but come on over, maybe bring the family over, and we'd love to have you, dude. You got a lot going on.
Look, we are way too busy, man. We've got six soccer games, The kids have three tournaments in baseball, softball, and taekwondo, four piano lessons. Plus, the kids want to master like 9 levels of Super Mario. So, man, we just don't have time to hang out with you guys playing charades.
Hey, you know, it's an open invitation. If you change your mind, come on over. Right? I hope you'll come.
Yeah.
Is there anything I can do to help you?
No. It's just normal stuff, you know, like my boss cutting my hours at work. I don't know how we're going to pay for groceries this month.
Oh, well, you have 4 kids, right?
Yeah.
Well, what about if I just bring by some dinner tonight for you?
Whoa. Christian Martha Stewart, back off. All right? You know? I can provide for my own family, thank you.
All right, man. You look tired.
Man, it's just my dad, you know. He's really sick and,
what's up?
You know, he lives all the way in Alabama. I want to go visit him, but, you know, my car's broken down and, man, I just don't see a way out.
Now, you have a 78 Gremlin, right?
Yeah, you know, the classic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my dad was a mechanic. He taught me a lot. I could help you fix it.
Hey, look, man, I appreciate that, but I can't do that. You know, I can't afford to pay you.
Oh, well, I can't take any money. You know, this may sound really cheesy, but I'm doing it for Jesus. It's a talent that he's given me. How about tomorrow after work? We put it together. It can't be too hard. It's a Gremlin. It can't be too hard to fix. You know, and if it's something that's beyond repair, I know Terry's got a car right now she's not using.
Okay.
Well, just let us help you take the load off. Relax. We'll help you. That's what this family's about.
Here, now, take this. You just call your wife and tell her that, you know, dinner's done and everything will be great.
Okay, I can't stand it. I gotta pray for your dad. Let me just lift you up, okay? Just for a second, I promise, real quick, okay? Lord, I ask you to touch Stephen's dad's body. I ask you to give him peace. I ask you, I thank you that you provided a way for him to go and see his dad through Donnie and Deb and bless them for their service to you. I know how much they love you and they do what they do because they love you. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Hey, Steve, I just want to tell you, you know what, in our life group, we do what we do to help you out, because it's just, that's how God's made us, you know? You don't have to carry all these burdens all by yourself, you know? We are the building blocks of God's kingdom. For us, it's not a burden to help you out with anything you got on your plate. It's a blessing. It's a blessing.
I get it. I get it. You know, life group isn't just one more burden that life puts on us. You know, living life together, sharing our burdens and our joys, well, that's how Jesus lifts our burdens from us. Yep. Jason, how about charades? You know, you get the pizza and I'll get my family. Heck, I'll even bring this chili that Deb made.
Because she had a new recipe, so she made 2.
I know, it's awesome.
All right. Excellent. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Come on.
What a blessing. Have such talented actors. Yes, tweens. Adios. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to Galatians chapter 6? You've had a visual representation today of the truth of this passage, but I want to read this passage to you. In fact, we're going to back up to chapter 5 in verse 25 and read in its context. Listen as I read here. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, each one looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for speaking to us through this skit, speaking to us through your word and applying it to our lives today. Lord, now let us respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We've heard that statement, no man is an island. Have you ever tried to be an island? Have you ever thought yourself self-sufficient? A man capable, a woman capable of pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps? Why, the very physics of that is impossible, isn't it? When have you tried to be independent and think, well, I don't need help from others. I don't need people in my life. I've got it all under control. How many times has that happened to you? And isn't it interesting what usually happens after that? You get an opportunity. God gives you an opportunity to see how much you need someone else. I was in kindergarten. I've told this story to a few of you many years ago. But they were passing out our kindergarten teacher at Tots Wonderland Kindergarten over on 61st Street here in Savannah. And they were passing out the construction paper. I insisted on having a red sheet of construction paper. Of course, there was a lot of kids in the room everywhere, us baby boomers. It was always a crowd. So I've got my red piece of construction paper, and then she comes around with the crayons. And I remember saying to the teacher, I want a red crayon. She tried to help me and say, but that won't show up on that red construction paper. But I insisted, so she let me have it. I tried to draw on the construction paper and I couldn't see anything. Well, very quickly, I knew I needed some help. I knew that what I had thought, what my perception had been about something was wrong. I had to admit that I had a need. How many times has God shown you that you have a need, and you need other people involved in your life? You think about this passage of Scripture that talks about bearing each other's burdens. How much do you need other people? In the skit, Stephen kept saying, I don't need you, I don't need you, I don't need you, I don't need you. And the stack gets higher and higher and higher. When the truth of this passage is, this is the way God has designed us. He has designed you
with this need of other people. We can't escape that. We can't escape the connections that He has for us with each other. That the things that they have, we need in our lives. That's how He's designed the church. His body that he has put together as we need each other to fulfill what we've been called to do and to be. When you got married, how many married people have we got here? Did you marry someone just like you? No. In fact, of course, you're not. You're marrying someone who sexually is very different from you, but also you probably married someone whose personality is very different from you. Now, did they compliment you? Most probably, yes. But of course, that can become a source of struggle at times because we see the differences in one another. But do we need each other? Do you need that person in your life? Do they fulfill a role in your life? Of course they do. They're fulfilling that. God uses, and even for those of us who are not married, God is using other people in our lives to fulfill the things that we need. The body of Christ is like that. You know, that's our church. Our church is one of our values, as we see, we talked about earlier today. We see the two-winged church. See the large group that gathers like this on a Sunday. But then we see the small group element of the church. The Acts 20:20 passage that we quoted earlier today, that they met publicly and house to house. They met in the big group and in the small group. So, what was God's intention with that small group? What happens in that small group? Years ago, when I was a brand new pastor, I realized that from week to week, there could be people sitting, listening to me preach, and I'd look right eyeball to eyeball with them and not know the pain that they're going through. Now, right now, I'm looking at some of you. And though we may be eyeball to eyeball, unless the Holy Spirit just reveals it to me, and sometimes He does, I wouldn't know what's going on in your life right now. Because we've become such good actors. Our society is all about acting, isn't it? It's all about the look. It's all about the cover page where they can come in with that computer and make everyone's skin look perfect. No one has perfect skin, do they? I was listening on a talk show and it was very refreshing to hear this model, beautiful gal. I'm trying to remember her name. It leaves me right now. But she was talking about how they had airbrushed her picture. And she was talking about her blemishes. Now here this woman who is known all over the world. She's multi-millionaire, and known for this pristine look, this beautiful look. And she's talking about being airbrushed. Now think about, well, we've bought into that lie. How many times do you go to work or even with family and say, well, how are you feeling? You say, I'm fine. That's the expected response, isn't it? But what's really going on with you? And where does that happen? Where can you really be honest? Where can you really let your hair down and be and have people that are going to help you? They're going to help you grow. They're going to help you be all that God has called you to be. Well, God's designed it in His church. He's designed it in the family, the family unit. Our physical family is there, that God has designed that that would happen there, that there would be that honesty and transparency. But then he has a larger spiritual family that we can also have that in. Now, let me ask you this. There's some of you, I've heard this testimony from a number of you, that your family has kind of pushed you away, and you have found in your church family a very close relationship. Get a witness on that from anybody? Yeah. But see, now, I'm not saying that it's either or. God's ultimate design is both and, that we would have that. We'd have that physical family. We'd have the spiritual family. And a great thing is when your physical family is also your spiritual family, it's both and. That just, you know, that just adds to it. That just greases the slide. But he has that kind of relationship for us. Let me ask you this. How many times have you just wanted to just tell the truth about what's going on in your life? Where can you do that? It needs to be with somebody you trust, doesn't it? Well, how do you know you can trust them unless you spend some time with them? Do you see? See what I'm getting around to? This time we spend with each other, not only does God want us to gather like this, but He also wants to gather in smaller groups. We see the relationships that in the Scripture. There's a relationship of our one-on-one relationship with God. But then He brings other people in our lives that we can share with, and we get to know them. You think of the ones that Jesus had. You know, we think of the 12, yes, the 12 which would emulate our what we would call a life group in our church. But did Jesus have smaller groups that He dealt with than that? Did He? Yes, He did. He dealt with them, it was disciples one-on-one at times. Look at His exchange with Peter when He asked Peter that question. But Peter, who do you say that I am? Remember I quoted it last week with James. That interchange, and Peter says, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you are Petros, you are Peter, and upon this Petra, this rock, I'll build my church. He wasn't talking about Peter physically, he's talking about Peter's faith, about his trust in him. So there's that one-on-one relationship. Well, did Jesus have relationships that were larger than that? Of course He did. Remember when He goes into the garden, Garden of Gethsemane, before He is about to go to the cross. Who does He take farther? He takes all the disciples into the garden. It's 11 by now because Judas has jumped off the ship. And literally. And there's 11. But then He takes 3 further into the garden. Who does He take in there? You remember their names? Who are they? Peter, James, and John. Here that He had this, the sons of thunder, James and John. John, the beloved, the agapitas. Peter, who would become the leader of the first century church. He had a special relationship with them. What I'm describing to you here is body life. Those of you who were here several weeks ago, Brother Rick talked about body life at 9:30 as he shared about what it's like for the body of Jesus to be operative as we're bearing one another's burdens. Now, this is just one passage of the one another's that are in Scripture. If you look in the New Testament, there are many. I'll give you about a half a dozen of them. There's another passage in Galatians that says, serve one another.
Another one says, care for one another. Another one's wait for one another. Another's admonish one another. Accept one another. You look at all the one another passages. Let me ask you. How can those operate in a group like this? Let me answer. They don't. It's unnatural. Because we come in a group like this. I'm going to hide right behind Teresa here today. Maybe the preacher won't see me because I know he can read my mind. Especially when he prays. And some of those other people, I see them going to the altar. They pray. I don't want them getting in. What was that word? My business. Thank you, Stephen, for blessing us for that. We're hiding. We're wearing masks. We're not being ourselves. Doesn't mean we always do that. There's a lot of transparency in our congregation, a lot. But it's difficult in a large group to be that way. But get it in a small group. That there's a dynamic of a reason why Jesus used 12 as he was raising up these leaders. As they were sharing life. Have you ever thought about what, you read the Gospels and you see what Jesus did every day. You know, you read the things that they did, the experiences they had. What we read in the four Gospels does not begin to describe what it was 24/7. What did he do all the other times? How about when they ate? How about when they had to go to the bushes? How about when they're walking to the next town? How about when someone's being obnoxious? Do you think he dealt with all those things every day? You bet he did. They were living out life together. Now, one of the great theological statements that was made by a great theologian of our day, 21st century theologian, made this statement I'm about to give you. Every trip to Walmart ain't to get stuff. Where are you sharing your life? Who are you sharing it with? Let me give you an example. Now, in our most of our groups are co-ed groups. But in those groups, we encourage the men and to have accountability with men and share some things that they wouldn't share with the group. So even in the midst of, say, one of our life groups, there's a further opportunity in the middle of that to share with an even smaller group something we wouldn't share with someone else. Every struggle, I can't speak for how the women think, but I know the men in this building here today, struggle with all the images that are in our society. And I'm talking about sexual images. Can I get a witness on that from you men? You're red-blooded men. There it is. It's out there. Who are you going to share that struggle with? Of course, with your wife, that there's a struggle. But occasionally, You need another guy in your life that's going to say, hey, you behaving yourself right now? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Now, when it comes to the computer, that's another thing. And statistically, the men struggle with the pictures, with the images, and the women struggle with the chat rooms. Now, I know that's a gross generalization, but it's a true generalization. Who are we going to share that with? Who are we going to share something? Sharing one another's burdens. Do we need each other? Has God designed us so that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus in one another's lives?
The reason why he says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ, you're being Jesus. Listen to me. It's not like Jesus is there. If we really believe that he came and tabernacled in us when we received him into our lives, that the very spirit of Jesus is in us, that we're the tabernacle, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, then when we help someone, who is doing it through us? We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. When we pray, as God allows us to interact with each other, and God puts people on our minds and our heart. Now, Gina, I'm going to embarrass you a little bit here. Yes, you, Mrs. Delgado. Someone I met at her work, what, 2 months ago? And what happened? Stand up and tell them what happened this week. And she wrote me. She didn't know that I'd been in an automobile accident, had gotten rear-ended. Y'all couldn't hear what she... Okay. What Jean said was a co-worker of hers that I met one time, she comes to her and said, you know, what is your pastor's name? I was praying and the Lord brought him to mind today for me to pray for him right now. And just one time meeting me, God brought me to her mind. Well, I'd been in an automobile accident, had gotten rear-ended, and was in a lot of pain. She was interceding for me, praying for me right then. I want you to see that God wants to intersect. It's just like in this little skit. We're bearing one another's burdens. Discipleship is happening through food. It's happening through mechanical help. It's happening through help with homework. It's happening with whatever the burden is, that we're bearing that for another person. We're there for them. And God is wanting to use us. He's not as interested in your ability as he is in your availability. You think about that. Are you available to be used by God in other people's lives? And my contention to you today is, unless you're allowing the Lord to lead you in all these relationships, you're not making yourself available. You're cutting yourself off. That's why today, and hear me on this, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here on a Sunday as we gather in the large group, as we're worshiping publicly. But this is only half of what God has called us to. The other half is that house to house of being together in these groups. And we've got a lot of different groups of size and shape and connection. But they're a place where you can hear the Lord. You can pray together. You can study His Word. You can understand what He's trying to do in your life because other people know you and can speak into your life and pray in you. But that means opening yourself. How bad do you have to be hurting before you're willing to do that? To open yourself to God and to others. Now, I'm not saying to you today, making a case that, you know, you just automatically, oh, I'm just going to tell them everything in my life. No, God will, He will show you the timing of how you can trust things to people. And it's not like, I know for some of you that have never been a part of one of our groups, you're thinking, oh man, they're going to ask me all these questions. No! That's not how it works. It's come and be yourself and engage as the Lord leads you and let it be natural. Does that make sense to you? Letting God speak to you so people that know you can encourage you. So it won't be, hey, I'm dying by inches here. I need your help. Now, on the other side of that, and we'll be talking about this some more in the future, these small groups, this is how God initially formed His church. It is the basis of the body of Christ as we go to the world. It is his basic mission team, if you will, as we perform all the functions of the church. Bear one another's burdens. Sometimes, just to be able to say it to another human being and know that God is using that person with compassion. You don't have to have the answer for everything. That's where you take it to God together. What happens to a burden when two people are bearing it? It's cut in half. But how about if two people take it to the Lord? It's completely lifted. And both get a blessing. E.V. Hill said this years ago. He said one of our big problems in life is we want to go around and act like we ain't never done nothing. What's God speaking to you today? Are there people in your life right now that need you? Answer, yes. Are there people in your life that need you to be transparent with them? Answer, yes. What are you going to do about it? Listed on the back of your bulletin are a number of life groups. My prayer is that by this time next year, we will have multiplied that number substantially. We believe that's a way to impact the world as we gather together, get into God's Word together, pray together, and bear one another's burdens together. I want to ask you, has there been someone this week that has helped you bear one of your burdens? Anybody? Anybody? Anybody got one they want to share right now? Somebody helped you bear a burden this week. They were the hands and feet of Jesus to you. Somebody, come on. Yeah, Petey? Stand up, Peter. Come over here. Because you had something happen to you this week, didn't you?
Yes, sir, Dave.
Okay. Speak it right in there.
Yesterday, I did 21 miles on my bike to in Hunter Airfield, went to Target, did my shopping, came out, and there was this lady in front of the store, she was sitting with her child, and she was looking at me, and she said, "Sir, I want to tell you something." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And clear blue sky, she said to me, "Sir, you are the most amazing person that I have ever seen." And I said, "Thank you." And she asked me what to do, and told her what to do with my cerebral palsy. And she said, "You are a miracle." And I was just so blown away from what she said. And she said that I'll pray for you. I hope that your dream will come true. And I was like, where did this come from? And it was just, I was just totally blown.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Petey. Amen. Amen. What a blessing.
I want you to hear that, because there you talk about a drive-by, actually a ride-by on a bicycle, bearing one another's burden. What Petey didn't tell you is the Lord has done a lot of things in his life in the last few weeks, the last several months, and there have been some burdens that have been there, but he's been cooperating with the Lord, and the Lord brings this person there. Yeah, one more thing. Cones, because they need to hear it.
I hope that I don't want to feel like I'm a burden to any one of you. Because, I mean, this year I have a goal that I want to make, and you'll find out later on.
Amen. Amen. Petey, you're not a burden. You're a brother. Amen. Bearing one another's burdens together. Let's pray. Lord, right now, I want to thank you for speaking through the simplicity of a skit, one verse of Scripture, and the testimony of your people. Lord, I ask you now that we could be transparent with you. As we enter this time of ministry, as we pray, Lord, as we get honest with you, honest about our lives, Lord, speak to us. Let us respond to you right now. We're going to open the altar, and you can come and pray. Maybe there's someone the Lord has put on your heart to pray with today. Go get them. Let's pray now. If there's a person that the Lord has shown you, go get them and y'all pray together. Maybe there's a burden you want to pray with someone else about today. Let's do that right now. Our pastors are going to be on either side. Some of our life group leaders will be here to pray with you. Or you can just come and pray yourself, or go get someone else.
you've never received the Lord Jesus, He is Lord over all. He died on the cross for your sin. He arose on the third day. He is coming again real soon. He will save you from your sin if you've never trusted Him. Today can be the day of salvation for you. Come, the altar is open.
us, for he cares, cares for you. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you.
Look this way, if you will. Before you leave today, we'd sure like to get those cards from you. If you have an offering to bring, there's a basket in the back right there by Martha Stewart. And two baskets up here. Oh, she sat down. And I want to also today, as you go, remember to pray for one of our sister churches in town, Christian Revival Center. Freddie Hebron, their pastor, you probably saw it in the news, passed away this week. Freddie leaves a great hole in Savannah, Georgia, and Haiti, where he's lived and worked. And that church needs our prayers today as we go. Want to send you out in the name of the Lord today. In His grace, let's pray together. Lord, I thank You that You hear and answer our prayers. Lord, for the burdens that we have given to You, Lord, we let go of them right now in the hands of Jesus and ask God that You'll meet every need. Lord, we ask that You would send us out in Your power to be Your ambassadors. Lord, for the drive-bys, for the sit-ins, for the setups, all the places, God, that You're going to use us this week. Lord, I'm asking You, go before us and prepare the way so we can be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Cast your burdens unto Jesus. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for He cares for you. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Him in prayer. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for He cares for you. Cast your burden unto Jesus, for He cares for you. Higher, 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 higher. Lift up Jesus higher, 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 higher.